There are probably a couple Mormons who are ready to fall out of the religion, and then he came along and they were like, dude, never mind. The prophet is delivering. Like, he's on the way.
Welcome to Spinsters, a podcast where we are a sleeper pick. I'm Jordan, Haley's here, Harry's here, and later on we have Zach Schwartz from Wave TV. Make sure to follow Zach on Twitter at ZachZachZach.
With a C. Now,
no, wait. With a C.
H. With an H. With a C-H.
Yes. Not
have
a K.
Y'all ever met as just a Z-A-C?
I don't think so.
Me neither. I've met a Z-A-K. Mm-hmm. Chaotic. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I no longer know him. Yeah. Before we get to Zach, Jordan, I haven't told you this yet, but we were talking to Peter today, and he was telling us this story where he was wearing his Spencer's hat and in Brooklyn and like taking his infant baby for a walk, and this woman was jogging beside him and turned around and was like, Spinsters. I literally, if you're that person, wow,
we love you,
thank you. Wow. I do feel like he might have made that story up.
I don't think so.
Little morale boost.
People love us, Haley. Yeah, accept it.
We're in the streets in Brooklyn. I'm around people. People do that happens to me almost every day.
Okay, Harry.
Okay.
No, but
anyway. Anyway, follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube, so Jordan and I can make more money, please. And then our Twitter and Instagram are at Spencer's Show.
After the break, Zach and the draft. I thought you were going to keep going.
Something. I was like, what do we say?
When you're scouting prospects, you need a powerful partner. You need Indeed. Sign up for Indeed now and get a $75 credit towards your first sponsored job. Plus, earn up to $500 extra in sponsored job credits with Indeed's virtual interviews. Visit Indeed.com/spinsters to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Harry, why don't you go through some of the news and say, is this real or fake? Since literally none of us know it, I guess.
Okay, I can make a few up.
You can, yeah, and no do the idea. Detroit thing too, because I honestly like kind of saw what happened, but I didn't fully see what happened. I was busy today. I had to take Elfie to the vet.
I had to go to
the doctor. She's fine. She had these bumps on her like stomach, like where her legs are at, and they got bigger yesterday. So I put Aquaphor on them, and I just wanted to check because we live in the country.
Poison oak or something bitter. Yeah.
Yes, like something exactly. But basically, they were like, when she goes out in the morning and the grass is still wet, it's like essentially giving her these bumps, which I didn't even. Yeah. So now they've got an antibiotic and. That's good because I get to give her these big scoops of peanut butter. She likes that. So problem solved. Nothing's really wrong. But yeah, that took up a good deal of my day today. Yeah. And Love Island is back on episode 2. So I wasn't really on Twitter today that much.
Fair?
Very fair.
Fair enough.
Just a little bit about me. Okay.
Priorities, very important things in your life. Elfie and Love Island, so we totally understand.
Thank you.
Okay. I just had to come up with a few fake ones. Okay, let's start with one of the bigger pieces of news for the kind of one of the ones that have some big reverberations. The Timberwolves traded D'Angelo Russell for Malcolm Brogdon and a second round pick.
No, I've got texts about this.
You sure?
Say again what the trade would have been that you just made up.
It was D'Angelo Russell, or it is D'Angelo Russell for Malcolm Brogdon and an unprotected second round pick.
That is funny, but no, that's not accurate.
It would be really great timing for D'Angelo Russell because everyone has been talking terribly about him and not that he was on the Warriors, but I don't think that's true.
Well, as I pointed out, there's a long line that kind of ends with him at this moment of people who have made, well, he didn't make a start in Minnesota, but everyone else that I'm about to say did, made their start in Minnesota, left, went elsewhere, or was traded elsewhere, won immediately after. And thanks to him, Andrew Wiggins was able to continue that long line. I think next, it's not necessarily because I went KG, right? He left, won with Boston, made the Wolves terrible enough to get the pick that they eventually traded. Who did they draft? They drafted somebody, traded for Kevin Love. He left, won with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
For him to leave, Cleveland traded away Andrew Wiggins. You might remember his very confused, sad spot on SportsCenter where he said, I just want to be with who wants me. And I was like, I identify with that guy. And that's the last time I ever said that. Because then I got frustrated with him for years. He leaves and wins. But I don't think D'Angelo Russell actually makes sense as the next one because all of those guys basically started their career in Minnesota. So I think it actually has to be Anthony Edwards.
Or Cat.
Oh. Or Cat.
Or Cat. But
I don't
Kat
know if they would get rid of him. I think he's just there forever. Like, he's just going to... He's a Timberwolf. Forever.
He's dug himself a hole of being like, I'm a forever guy. Not that that doesn't have to mean anything. You're not bound
True.
To Carl. Just,
Carl. I'd rather be Anthony Edwards at least because I don't care about Kat that much. Get Ant a ring. Get Ant an Oscar too. He was lovely in
Thank
Oscar.
You.
Lovely. So
he is so bright. His future is.
He's great. He just makes me smile watching him do anything. He's just awesome.
Good old Agreed. Kermit. Kermit.
I feel for D'Lo. All of his numbers are down. He's as efficient as he can be, but like, I don't know. I thought he was going to be so good when he came in, and it seems like he's been in the way of himself some of the time. I really thought him with the Warriors would have been this really fun thing. Obviously, that didn't pan out. So that's interesting.
Well, even when they acquired him, though, like you had to think that they were just doing that to then gather that piece and kind of Danny Ainge it and like hold on to it a little bit. It never seemed like that was their final destination for him.
Danny Ainge is like flips players like houses. He puts it
well, but he's obsessed with assets. So that was my whole
like, redoes things, paints some walls, refloors the place, then he flips them for more, right?
Okay. So
now that's an HD. HGTV. Yeah. Now that's an HGTV show I would watch. Ground. Why has no one pitched that yet? Danny Ainge, flip this roster.
Flip this to Danny Ainge. That's great.
Oh, we should pitch that. We might have you cut this out, Harry, just in case we want to like pitch that. We were going to do that later on, players that we originally were high on.
Oh, I can't
Should
wait.
Should we just
I'm
do that
excited.
Now?
Yeah.
Because you brought up D'Angelo Russell. Okay. In retrospect, mine are fucking stupid. Like, I was like, did I think any of these players were going
to
be good?
I can't wait to hear.
Thanks.
No, because I have mine that are so bad.
I have a question about my, you were correct, it was made up. Who is actually saying no to that trade?
The Wolves out of pride. They're very proud people.
Does Brogdon play off Anthony Edwards better than D'Angelo Russell?
Find throughout Malcolm Brogdon's career that he will play up to any situation. He's proven to be that kind of guy already, and I just think he's this is not a perfect one-to-one, and I literally just made it up on the spot, but so give me some grace. But he's kind of in a spot and has always been in a spot where he's, like, reduced to a far lesser Clay just type of thing where it's, like, we're never really going to know what this guy can do because he's next to people that should be given more allowances.
I agree.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Sources close to me say that that the Atlanta Hawks are operating with the goal of trading John Collins before Thursday, before the draft. Before the draft.
I think that this is true because I think every single, any free agency, any trade, John Collins' name is there. I feel like every single time. So I don't know if I'm wooed by just his name being there, but that sounds true to me.
Yeah, I'm piggybacking off of Jordan.
I like John Collins. I think he's very fun to watch. My favorite thing that's happened with this Hawks team was when behind the scenes there were rumors that John Collins was getting pissed at Trae Young for doing too much. And Trae Young was like, cool, you handle it. And everyone's numbers went in the toilet. I loved that shit. It does seem like there are fit issues, John Collins maybe with Trae or whatever, but I don't know what they're going to get out of the draft that's not going to set them back. They're kind of in a weird middling place in a sort of way. So I believe that they want to do that. I just don't know what they think they could get.
Yeah, I don't know that they should rush because I think everybody is fine. I say that, but maybe not. They're a young team. As long as you remain a young team and you don't regress, like, then it's okay to like take some time to figure it out.
Not that this is like one for one, but would you rather have Miles Turner or John Collins with Trae Young, if you're Trae Young?
Oh, if you're Trae Young.
Miles Turner, I think.
I think so, too. I think he can do a little more.
Shoot threes, yeah.
Yeah,
that was my thought. Collins.
Like, he's still a good – he is a solid player, and I think he can kind of drop on any team. That's why he is in so many trade rumors every single time, because you can just be like, okay, can he fit here? Can he go here? Can he go here? Just to be that post presence. But honestly, I haven't forgiven John Collins for his terrible dunk contest plane catastrophe that happened.
Yeah.
That has not left my mind, and I really blame him for that. So – that's not looking good for him.
Trade him.
Trade him just because of that.
That one, this one was real.
Real?
Yes.
Well. Okay. Fair.
Next one, kind of, this was the opposite of the first one. It's not a huge deal either way. It's not rock of the boat, but Brad Watermaker sent to the Jazz for cash considerations.
Does it hurt more if you are getting traded for cash considerations. Like, not even an amount, but they're just like
money. You're like getting traded for a bullet point.
Yeah. That's tough. I think that's real. Sure.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's real.
That's not something that gets brought up to be rumored because it's not important enough.
Hey, got me.
That's just something that happens as like a side. Yeah.
All right. Detroit has traded Jeremy Grant to Portland for a 2025 first round pick via Milwaukee. So Milwaukee's 2025 pick. That's it. That's the trade. Actually, let me do a combo. Portland is also in pursuit of Toronto Raptors OG Anunoby, hoping to trade the seventh pick that the Trailblazers have for OG Anunoby.
So okay, let me ask you guys, Jordan Haley, do you think OG Anunoby, Jeremy Grant, and Damian Lillard are even going to sniff the playoffs?
Not even close. I don't think it's enough. Like, it's still not enough. I don't know who that person is, but Portland, I think they're still going maybe a first round, maybe in a couple years, but they're not getting past that. The rest of the teams that are in the West.
No.
So I think it's real, but I don't think it's, they need more.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's I do know that that is a real trade. Now that you've said it, I did see that. Which is a funny trade because Jeremy Grant's an NBA starter, but not to the degree that you're talking about Zach. Yeah, not at all.
I like Jeremy Grant. I like OG. I just don't know if that's enough.
If you're Portland and you're making what are perceived of as steals, and we can get into that a little bit because I don't know, this is like the steal that it looks like on its surface, but mm-hmm. it's definitely like a good deal for them. If you have Damian Lillard, you want to please him, you want to surround him right away. But if you're making a trade like this that is perceived by everyone as completely one-sided, mm-hmm. and it's still not pushing, what would the phrase be there? Moving the needle. Then what the fuck are you gonna do?
I'll be honest, they're in such a tough and shitty spot because that, like, I think if you're in the four spot in this draft, you could still get Jaden Ivey. Like, there's intriguing players all the way to four for me, maybe even to five. But, like, at seven, you're sort of in that no man's land. Like, I remember when the Lakers had that pick and they got Julius Randle. It was sort of tough, but, like, it worked out okay. Julius Randle still wasn't, like, Julius Randle that we've seen how he can be. But
yeah,
it's just not a good position, and I just don't think there's a world where they can rebuild this team with Damian Lillard on it to have him succeed. He's got to go somewhere else. They need to trade him, get assets.
Do you guys know who Detroit wants with all of the space that they've created? They essentially did this to create a fuck ton of space. They've succeeded. I think that's totally fine. You don't want to re-sign a guy. Whatever. You're allowed to make one-sided, what are on their heads, one-sided trades. You're allowed to do it. Like, mm-hmm. as a front office, if we went back in retrospect, we'd see all kinds of little trades like this that actually really added up for a team. Sometimes you just need to clear room to bring someone in, and if you cut somebody who's like not your final vision or the would make up for who you're bringing in, then it's fine, whatever, just do it. I'm just here to let you know I support you.
So the idea would be they would make space to try to get Bradley Beal.
No, Ayton.
Oh,
that, if you think about it, that's the most Pistons thing they could possibly do. Go after somebody who has perceived attitude issues, or whatever you want to call them. I don't know what happened. I'm not saying he has an attitude problem, but I've heard some stories. I think we've all probably heard some stories. You could like search it on Twitter, Ayton attitude, whatever, stories would come up.
Mm.
And he also is somebody who cannot be the most important piece on a championship team or even a winning team. So that's very Detroit-like for them to go after him.
Ayton and Cade is fun if it's like 1993.
I immediately went back in time. Like, I think that would be better in another era. I agree. Yeah. You said like sometimes it's okay to clear space. Why doesn't Portland do that? Like, exactly. They need to do that. They need to take that advice and just kind of start over, even though that makes me really sad for Damian Lillard. But I don't know if, even though it is one-sided for Portland, I still don't think it helps them. But good for Detroit. Good luck. Best of luck to you.
Those are all the rumors with the one that I'm sure we've all heard to be real, which is Kyrie's at an impasse with
just delightful.
Yeah, with the Nets. And then there's like another thing out there about, and his leverage is that KD would be really pissed and maybe request a trade.
The situation as I've heard it is that he's saying, I want the max for a number of years I can't remember right now, and if you give me anything less, I'm leaving, and also Kevin will leave with me, or he'll just leave.
I love the idea of him being like, come on, Kevin, we're leaving. That's awesome.
Literally,
that might happen.
I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, honestly, who says that if it's not true? Who the fuck would say that, would threaten that? I mean, you have to be an all-time goober. But the thing is, he is. Like, we've seen time and time again that he has this way of not extending his hand, I guess, is the polite way of saying it.
I love this. Weeks ago, when he said, I'm going to be a Net for a long time or whatever, I was like, dude, you said the same thing with Boston and just left. And I loved it then, and I love it now. I think Kyrie, albeit I don't want the Lakers to pay him that much, but he would fit in really nice with like the Topanga Canyon moms. You know what I mean? That are like very like do a lot of mushrooms and hang out, and it's like earthy above Malibu, anti-vax. Like he would really fit in nice up there. You could have a really nice life up in Topanga Canyon, Kyrie.
Yeah, for sure.
What I'm trying to say.
The incense capital of the USA. Yeah, for sure. Love it. Yeah.
Oh, in a year, there's going to be like 8 extremely mad Nets fans that are like, Kyrie stepped on the net logo. He stepped on the net.
All 6 of them.
I wish that all the Kyrie stuff gets grouped together, and that's what kind of annoys me is like not every some of the things that other people say, oh, that's bad, you shouldn't do that, I don't agree with. Like if you want to say I'm going to be a Celtic for life and then you feel like you no longer fit with them, that's fine. And if you are a normal person, you can see where that would be fine because we're all allowed to leave our jobs. We're all allowed to say like this is actually no longer a good situation for me. I'm quitting my job. Or I'm breaking up with this person, or I'm ending this friendship, or whatever you have to do to like get away from a situation you don't feel like is helping you or is good for you or whatever. You just don't like it anymore. You can always go back on your word and start over. It's a really long life. Like that doesn't, especially with a career, I think that's fine. But then he does shit where he's like, and Kevin will come with me.
Yeah.
I just can't defend him because A, is that true? Like, does anybody here have a line in with anybody who knows Kevin Durant where we could say, buddy, are you really going to let yourself like be represented like this?
Just like, I think,
in somebody else's negotiation.
Yeah, that's the
this is your career, Kevin Durant. You are one of the best. You are better than Kyrie Irving. Like, please do not let yourself be played around with like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea would be like the Nets are so bad with they'll lose Kyrie. They'll have nothing. The pantry is pretty barren as far as top tier blue chip free agents go that are not already tied up or that are, you know, that you'd have to trade for in some way, even if it's a sign in trade. So I think the idea would be then Kevin Durant would be like, yeah, I don't want to be here. Like I had to carry them already last year. Why would I do that again? Like Ben Simmons is going to help. I guess a little, but
forgot
like
about him.
Same.
He will be
back to him. And someone,
someone tweeted Nets on vacation. It was a picture of Ben Simmons fishing. And it was like, what from the vacation he already took this season? I was like, damn, so mean on the internet.
That's a dark place. But yeah. That I agree with you, Zach, because that's what happened when James Harden left and when Kyrie was part time. Like Katie doesn't want, in my opinion, he doesn't want to be the only person there. He doesn't want to carry everybody. So if Kyrie leaves, then he's going to be like, OK, my plan completely blew up. I need to go somewhere else where I can team up with more people. I also hear when Kyrie says he's going to be somewhere forever, that's a ding in my mind that, oh, he's about to leave immediately. Like, you do have the right to go back on your word, but now his word is becoming the opposite of what he's about to do. And that's not a good sign.
Yes. Okay, we are going to take a quick break and then we're going to talk about the draft.
The right draft pick can take your team to the playoffs and beyond. When you're scouting prospects, you need a powerful partner. You need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. One of the things that I love about Indeed is the virtual interviews. A lot of people are working from home. They do not want to come into an office. And with Indeed, it saves you time. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent seamlessly, all in one place. Sign up for Indeed now and get a $75 credit towards your first sponsored job. Plus, earn up to $500 extra in sponsored job credits with Indeed's virtual interviews. Visit Indeed.com/spinsters to learn more. Claim your credits at Indeed.com/spinsters. Indeed.com/spinsters. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
God, Pilates kicked my fucking ass today. Linda.
Linda is the name of your Pilates instructor?
One of them, yeah. Linda Hope is the most extreme one. She's really intense and she's like so fit, but she's probably like 60 or something. And she's always wanted to do crazy shit. Like, we'll be there's the reform, like the reformer is the thing you lay down on, but there's all these like things you can hang off and stuff. And you'll just come into the class and she's like, I'm just experimenting to see if it's too difficult for you. And she's like upside down and her legs are like, you know what I mean? It's just intense. So yeah,
I can't
kind of honestly started the day off a little wrong for me.
Just the Pilates went too hard.
Yeah, because some of them were too, the position was too hard for me to get into, so I never really even felt like I got anything.
Right. You just take an L first thing, you do it in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, I felt defeated.
I took the biggest L because I was on my walk and I was just enjoying life. La, 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 la. It was humid in LA, which is so weird. Zach, I'm curious if you saw this too. Then it just started raining. And I thought it was something from the tree, and then it started raining, and I sprinted with my ankle weights on because I couldn't mess with my hair. So I have my ankle weights. I'm sprinting down the street to get home, and there's this whole line of construction workers that are just staring at me.
Of course,
and I was like, I'm literally running like this, trying to hold down my hair. Ugh. And then I was hot. It was like 90 degrees and I was sprinting. That was a rough, way to start the day.
Yeah, just,
hair's still good. It's all right. It survived.
I had a nice start to my day. Woke up early, went to the car wash, got some coffee, came home, made some videos. Nothing crazy. Easy day.
Good. Harry?
Not sprinting in the rain.
Nope.
Great.
My day was my morning. My biggest problem with my morning is I ate a cinnamon bun way, way too fast. Like, I just was like, I don't know. Like, I usually on Wednesdays, I call iced coffee Wednesday. I go get iced coffee and I go get pastry. And this pastry, I threw it in the trash, like the empty bag on the trash can at the corner of the block I was at. Oh. Like, I just deleted it.
Love
and
that.
So yeah, yeah.
Deleted it. I have a policy. If I get food, takeout, whatever, if I am able to eat all of it in the car before I get to my house, those calories don't count. Okay. But now, because it's impossible to eat like a full Taco Bell meal realistically, just in that short of a window, but I can eat like a cinnamon roll or part of it, and then those just don't count. That's how life works.
I like that. I'm someone who needs to be set like with my food and stuff. So if I'm gonna go back, especially at night, I'm assuming at night because you said Taco Bell, and if you're eating Taco Bell before night, I am so concerned. But like, I'll get the you know, driving through whatever Taco Bell or pizza or whatever I'm picking up. And then I like to come back, have my whole TV or whatever set up before I start eating so I can fully enjoy the food. I don't like to eat on the go when I know I have something to like set up and enjoy.
Mm.
That's the dream, but I also don't like my food cold. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's my window here? How far away are we? If we're stuck in between, we're going to pop something on the phone and eat it in the car so that it's hot. I would... hot over comfort situation.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
It's a tough life, but I get on.
See, a byproduct, this is kind of a blessing and a curse for me, is that because I'm a kind of extremely athletic and dexterous guy, it allows me to eat in all kinds of depraved and fucked up ways. Like, I can like eat and walk, like eat like a three-course meal while I'm walking, you know, like I'm like juggling the appetizers and stuff. So I just eat and walk like a psycho.
Okay,
good for you, Harry.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway. I also have gotten over this, but I used to have this thing when I was young where I could not eat like in settings that I would perceive as like, oh, I can't believe I'm bringing this up, this is so embarrassing, like that had dirt or dust. I've told you
couldn't picnic here.
Yes, that's fine because it's grass, but not in dirt, not around dirt or dust or something. And like I, it was so bad that like I, when there would be Westerns on the TV, like I wouldn't even want to eat because I just like think about the dirt.
That's because
I remember
like
you telling me this.
It's because like that's those are your genes really from the great grandparents that were in the Dust Bowl. And
yeah, no, literally. Yeah. In, you know. No, literally, yeah. Probably.
The ancestors are like, no, don't eat that.
No dust, get it away.
No, yeah, honestly, probably. But I've kind of slightly got over it, but I don't – actually, I fully got over it, but I still, like, could not eat, like, especially, like, in New York outside or if I was in, like, somewhere like WeHo or Venice or something and I'm walking, like, I don't think I could do it.
Interesting.
Maybe, yeah, maybe that's wrong, but I just – there's certain things I can't eat. Yeah. If I like think the air is dirty.
I get that.
Anyway, now we've gotten over my fucking freaky childhood thing. should we talk about the players we were wrong about?
Yeah.
Okay. Please. My so I can start here. I think the player that I thought was going to be much better than they were, who wasn't already like a supposed to be great was Malachi Richardson. We were in the same conference, so I just watched a lot of Syracuse, and I also saw him at Beverly Hills, and I thought that it was a sign. That was after he was drafted, though.
Doesn't it feel like Q's guys are kind of always bad? Like outside of Carmelo Anthony, it kind of feels like all the Q's guys are kind of there's something weird there.
Yes. When we get to our draft junk science, I actually have something to say about that.
Ah, sorry.
An adjacent story of players who did not pan out. This is one of my favorite stories. I know I've told you guys all separately and then probably together because it's honestly so funny, is that my ex-boyfriend and I one time got into a huge argument about Chris Dunn. Because he told me that he thought he was going to be an all-star in 5 years. This was in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is telling. Like, this is a red flag. Like, blah, blah, blah. We were just whatever. And he bet me $5,000. And I texted Megan today, Megan Schuster, because she was there. And I was like, did he say 500 or $5,000? Like, it was $5,000, right? It's $5,000. That he'd be an all-star in 5 years, and that was 2017. So if you do the math, I am owed $5,000. All I have to do is contact my ex-boyfriend.
Is it worth $5,000?
Yeah, is that worth it?
Oh, what, 100%. Like, we're still friendly. But then it's like, you know, how do I let him know it's not actually a joke? Because I would like to see some of that. You know, be a man of your word. Yeah.
That's a good story.
That is my favorite, like, who's wrong about. And to be honest, I don't really know that it was entirely Chris Dunn's fault. I think Tom Thibodeau fucked him up by pulling him out literally every time he did something wrong.
There's a long list of bad
guys. Yeah. So anyway, those are mine.
Do you want mine next?
Yeah, go for it.
First one, Jabari Parker. Watched a lot of his high school tape. Thought he was just going to be – I was like, that guy, surefire, superstar. Between the injuries and kind of the way he was built, it was like one of those things where it just didn't – it never worked out. I kind of feel sad for him because I'm like, it still feels like he should be so promising. Another guy, Justice Winslow. I really thought he was going to be great. Like, I thought he was such a steal.
That's a good one.
I loved his game. He seemed so exciting. And they had other, like, they could have had Devin Booker now. Like, if you think about, like, that Heat team, if they had Devin Booker, also how fun they would be. But the last one was, I was a huge gymmer. This is one of my favorite stories. I was a huge gymmer for that guy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Huge gymmer guy. Now, when I worked for the ASU basketball team, and this rang true for the 4 years that I was there, Jimmer is the only player that our guys, when they would shoot deep threes, would say Jimmer. Like, it wasn't Steph, it was Jimmer. And it was, like, so baffling to me that these guys are, like, college star players and idolized or respected him in such a way. Granted, this is just Arizona State, so maybe that says its own thing. That being said, I thought for sure Jimmer's going to be good. Then during the offseason, I had to go to the gym and let someone in to do a pre-draft workout. And it was Miles Simon was working out Jimmer Fredette ahead of the draft just to do some. They were in Arizona together, so he wanted to just get a workout in. And I set up the gym and just sat in the booth upstairs and watched. And Jimmer was fucking terrible. He could not hit anything from the NBA three-point line. He looked super gassed coming up and down the court, to the point where I was like, oh my, he's going to plummet in the draft and I wouldn't touch him. Like, just in that one workout, that was my takeaway. And obviously that ended up being right. He fell and then was never very good at the NBA level, but it was super interesting to watch that.
I bet the Kings were at that workout and they're like, that's our guy.
give him to us.
That's who we want. Also, maybe a record for back-to-back podcasts of mentioning Jimmer Fredette, which is...
That's the skeleton perfect. In everyone's closet. Everyone was like, Jimmer's going to be...
He cooked Kawhi in college. He, like, now, Kawhi shifted onto him a little bit in that game. It wasn't like one-on-one Kawhi the whole time, but he gave Kawhi like 42 and 25 the two times they played Jimmer's last year, so...
He was legit. Like, he was good, and it was all, you know, the shooting, the hype around it. Like, I drank the Kool-Aid. I was definitely saying Jimmer was everything. He's changing basketball. It's going to be amazing. Man, we were just all wrong.
Too slow, I think. And then I think the NBA range was tougher for him than he maybe realized.
He's going to get the shot off.
Yeah.
Hey, that too. You know how you just said Kool-Aid? Okay, I'm going to write this down. An off-season thing we should do is which cult is which NBA team?
Oh, my God.
Because I just watched that Latter-day Saints, like, offshoot, like, the extremist group doc on Netflix. I'm going to write that down.
Who are the Branch who are the Branch Davidians of the Western Conference? Well, you see, Steve Kerr really has some David Koresh vibes to him, and then just go in on that. That's great.
Sure, that's going to be.
Yeah, that is an awesome concept, though.
I'm writing it down. Jordan, who's yours?
Yeah.
I know. These were all so good. I was a bad student, and I did not prepare. But the one that comes to my mind is mostly from the W, and I was the opposite. I was proved wrong. And I go with Jackie Young, especially 'tis today. The all-star starters were just announced, and Jackie Young is an all-star starter. Mm-hmm. And when she came into the league, she was drafted number one, and I was like, I don't see it. Why was she drafted over Arike Ogunbowale? Why does she come out of college early? Like, I think her shot selection's terrible. I was, like, anti-Jackie Young for the Aces, and now she is rubbing it in my face. She's, like... doubled her stats from last year. She's an all-star starter. She's in the MVP conversation. And that is like an FU to me because I did not see it. But I'm happy to be proved wrong. I'm like, yes, you grew into who you were supposed to. The team was the right fit. But man, I was very wrong. So that's the one that comes to my mind. But all of these were really great on the NBA side.
Yeah. Shout out to Jackie. What Jackie, about you, Harry?
I've got a few, and I think they show all the different ways you can be wrong about NBA draft prospects. The first one, and the one that I was like the most profoundly wrong about, was Yi Jianlian. I thought that dude was going to be a superstar.
What year was that draft?
2008, maybe?
Yeah, 2009. Because I was in high school. And my friend Davis, who I think you met, no, Haley, for I sure. Like, he was a huge fan also.
He was like a seven
Davis
footer.
Was?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't remember. I just remember him yelling, yee! Like all the time.
I love the type of like sports fan who's so like, I found the, like, I am Adam Sandler in Hustle. Like, yeah. I found the next like guy who nobody else believes him, but like, you're not actually a scout.
That's Harry's brand, I think.
Yeah. I remember seeing clips of a one-on-one workout where he was like doing, he was 7 foot doing spin moves on and like dunking in like with supreme athleticism. I really was like, yep, this guy, I think he went 7 to the Bucks. I was like, damn, dude, they just got their what they
needed.
Who was on that Bucks team?
Oh, Andrew Bogut, maybe?
Yeah, definitely Andrew Bogut. Yeah. Honestly, another offseason idea, Andrew Bogut is the through line of a lot of failures in the NBA, and I'll get back to you on that one, but that's actually something, I've had that argument prepared for a while.
Fascinating political ideas. Mm-hmm. Andrew Bogut.
It's fascinating?
Yeah, as I was saying it, I was thinking maybe...
Bad,
yeah. He's got some...
He was 2007. It was the 2007 draft. Yeah. So that's Andrew Bogut. Williams.
Oh, yeah. So Bogut, they had 1 and 7 and they went Bogut.
No, I meant that Bucks team.
Oh. Got it.
Andrew Bogut was earlier.
The next one I had was Jarrett Culliver, who is like maybe not in the league now, even though he was drafted like 3 years ago, also 7. He's a classic guy, and this happens all the time, I'm sure. I watched like 4 Michigan college basketball games, and one of them was Jarrett Culver putting like 24 on us, and I was like, this guy's a star.
Yeah. The bias you have for players that play in the same conference your team does. Yeah, Malachi Richardson, exactly.
I'm like, this guy scored on Franz Wagner.
Honestly, one of the best Midwestern names you could ever hope for.
Jarrett Culver.
Yeah.
I have the opposite reaction of some like Pac-12 guys. So I'm always a hater of all those players.
Interesting.
Like, I remember when I was at AC, we played UCLA. And I was like, Zach LaVine, who is this motherfucker? He's a shit. And like first play of the game, he rips our point guard, who had an unbelievable handle, rips him and just guns it down the court and takes off from the free throw line and dunks it. And I was like, I should be quieter about this.
Yeah, and don't tell nobody about that.
The second one, I don't know if you guys could guess who it is, the player. So it was 2011, okay, Pac-12 player. We went to play them. This player was suspended for a game and a half because they found weed in his car.
OJ Mayo.
No, that would have been too long ago.
Yeah.
2011.
What year was Clay drafted?
Well done. It was Clay Thompson. Wow. So we go into the game and we spent all this time scouting. I'm like, he's not even going to play in the first half. This guy, how good could this guy be? Come on. Why are we doing this? And we were up like 13 at halftime, 15 at halftime. Clay came in, dropped 29 in the second half, and we won by 1 point. And I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking, he's a demon. So I was right about that. Like, learning that is good for me, but didn't mean to interrupt you, Harry. Sorry.
No, all good. I mean, that's just Jarrett Culver. I hope, you know.
Dude. What happened to him?
Was he on the Timberwolves?
Yeah, he might be out of the league, like, starting now. Like, that.
Yeah.
His rookie contract just...
He was really low on the rotation, and every time he got in the game, I was like, dang, he was going to be something. I was with you, yeah.
There's something to be said about basketball players from Texas being less successful than they should. Maybe that's another investigation for the offseason, but I'm just saying.
Lining them up. I kind of have those same feelings. Oh, this might hurt you, Harry, but Trey Burke. Like, I was a super fan of him in college. And I also thought he was just going to, like, steady point guard coming right off the bench for a team forever. And I think he also got traded this offseason, just, like, thrown in. And that's not what I wanted for him.
Yeah. He falls into one of my junk science categories. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Burke, I loved him. He was a little, you know, your superstar. You get a little wary of them. Like, I was scared that Trae Young wasn't going to have Trey Burke was not going to have the career I wanted him to. So I kind of like hedged against myself.
Smart.
The last one I'll say, which also speaks to homerism, is Jordan Bell. And this is a thing that
Long Beach
Warriors fans were guilty of, but I think everybody was guilty of, is if there was like a 6'8" guy who was just bad, they were like, he's Draymond. Like, he's the next Draymond because he's not skilled.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, yes, dude, we got the next Draymond. Like, he's can't shoot, he can't dribble, he can't pass. Like,
he's going to be so good. Yeah.
For Jordan Bell, too, like, since they were winning all those games, he would come in for 2 minutes and score an important basket, and the crowd would go wild, and you're just like, wow, where did they find this gym? And it, you look at the box score, and he had 2 points. Like, we didn't do that much.
I knew, watching Oregon a good amount, I was like, when people are like, he's so good. Because I remember I had this argument with Justin Verrier, I think. He's like, Jordan Bell is great. And I was like, bro, I've watched Jordan Bell for a long time. I promise you, I know exactly what he is. He's fine. But like the Warriors, in my mind, I was worried the Warriors were going to like fool someone into overpaying to get him, you know, so that was it.
Should we do draft junk science? Okay. I have like something that is not technically scientific, but you can prove it based on, you can't prove it, I guess, actually. But it's
like,
true.
A good one that's very common, but people say the NFL, it's like quarterbacks got small hands. Yeah. Can't draft a guy with small hands. It's like, what?
Who were they obsessed with this last go round?
Kenny Pickett. Yes. Fun fact, hands are bigger than Kenny Pickett's.
They literally would not stop talking about it. Me and my friend Sam, like every time that they would say something, they'd make it sound like he had like absolutely like child hands on a regular man's body. Like they were so upset by his hands. But that's one of them. Yeah.
I did a whole video for our football vertical Jukes about this. And basically, like the size thing on the low end does matter to a degree. The upper end does not. But like, it'll be interesting. I hope he does well. I just think it'd be really funny if he does super well and everyone's been way off about this for forever. But
it's like such a
It's so dumb.
It's I mean, for basketball? Maybe this it's a thing for basketball in terms of like big men can't shoot free throws because their hands are too big. They have no, that's why people say you could have put Shaq in the gym every second of every hour of every day and he never would have been able to shoot free throws well because his hands were too big. Mm-hmm. That is like a common thing, that's the reverse, which I don't know why, but I subscribe to that a little bit more.
It just sounds,
I don't know why, now that
right.
I think about it. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds right.
There are a lot of guys like Rondo. Like has giant hands and has always been a bad free throw shooter. So I think it's a thing that they can point to a certain people. But
okay. I will play the audience of
okay,
this.
Yeah, we can like give you our great. Okay, that sounds good. Harry, you have a bunch. I have one that I really believe in. So why don't you go first?
Sure. The one that, and yes, part of these I think is, I'll start with the obvious ones, which is the like second or like the least memorable Kentucky guard is always just buckets in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like true. Tyrese Maxey, Quickly, Devin Booker. It's like
which makes sense because they have such an overwhelming amount of players that are talented and just do such a terrible job at like managing who should be in what role.
I thought you were going to say it makes sense because John Calipari has no idea what he's fucking doing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Like he does not do any, doesn't do a good job of like managing who is the most talented and should be placed in what position. And
that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Another one I got, or you want to go around or you want me to throw all mine out?
Throw your ears out.
Okay.
Throw
them.
The next one was, I've talked about this a little bit on the pod before, but Gonzaga, no juice. Like they don't make NBA players. It's because it's a school for babies, and so it's like they get to the NBA and they're like, oh my god.
Yeah. I've heard this so many times that I'm like, yeah, I believe this.
The other day, somebody brought up Gonzaga, and I was like, it's a school for babies. Just because I've heard it so many times from you.
So it's
Let's
such
see
a good
what Gonzaga players have been in the NBA.
So the only, like, Jalen Suggs hasn't been bad. They had Jeremy Pargo. They've had Olenek. Adam Morrison, obviously.
But
Adam
I will say
Zach Collins.
Only men.
Sabonis.
Zach Collins.
You should say men because
it's Sabonis.
On the women's side,
yeah.
Courtney Vandersloot, Gonzaga, amazing, gonna be a Hall of Famer. So you should
specify. Just men's basketball. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronnie Turiaf.
Yeah, it's kind of like maybe they're over. There's too much promise going in, but I agree with the Gonzaga thing. I didn't have like high hopes on Adam Morrison, but he was a dog in college. But they play lesser competition, so that kind of made sense. And then I still hold out hopes for Jalen Suggs to be good, but who knows?
You know who else went?
A little worry with Chet because.
Well, that's exactly obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Chet. I'm excited to see what happens. John Collins also went to Gonzaga.
Oh. He did?
It's on Real GM. I didn't think that. I honestly did not know that.
Interesting.
Rui Hachimura.
Seem like that. Fits.
Yeah.
Oh, Rui Hachimura.
Okay.
The last one, and this is the kind of most complicated and hardest to prove, but all the players who are good in the SEC are bad in the NBA, and all the players who are bad in the SEC end up being good in the NBA.
See, this is tough because UK is in the SEC. So you...
Oh, minus UK.
You might want to take UK out of that.
Like, I'm sorry. And actually, because I...
Is
Texas Tech SEC? Or are they Big Ten?
I think it's Big Ten.
What I really mean is like the Southern Belt of...
The football schools.
Random, exactly. Mm, the football schools.
Yeah. Quick asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
John Collins played for Wake Forest. So Real GM was wrong. Wikipedia was correct.
Wow. That's so weird that they were that wrong about that.
I know. They're Real GM.
I wonder if it's a different John Collins.
That would be funny. Yeah. I didn't know there were two.
No, I'm just, that's the only way that I could see them getting that wrong. Yeah, and they're like,
look, we're still waiting for him to grow up. He went to a baby school.
Oh my God.
Really nothing we can do.
Nothing we can do. Okay.
I got nothing to support that one, but it feels true. Admiral Schofield, great SEC, bad
was
NBA
KCP
player.
A great SEC yes. player? Feels like it, right? He was at Georgia, KCP? Am I wrong? He's been a good NBA, good enough NBA player, but I'm pretty sure he was Georgia. I could be wrong.
Let me look it up on Wiki. Not Real GM.
Grant Williams would be... Oh, but good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, but he was non-notable. Like, that's an example of like...
Had the first part of that right.
He was good, I think, at Georgia. I'm pretty sure he was like, well, he's for sure their best player, but I'm pretty sure he was one of the better players in the conference that year.
I mean, probably.
I think, I'm trying to think what mine are for this. I love this concept. The two that come to mind are don't draft modern day kids in general. You want to talk about a baby school. The modern day men that come out, now, usually the barrier of college siphons them away, but the Ware twins came out of there. Famously, there was this really good trio, Kiala King, Tyler Lamb, and what's the last guy's name? Gary Franklin. Okay, all three of these kids, 4 or 5 stars, come out of modern day. They all ended up transferring and then transferring again. Out of them made it to the league. Obviously, what's the guy's name? Stanley Johnson made it to the league, did not pan out. So that's my first one. The second one is I don't believe in like rigid position stuff, except for around forwards, specifically like small size forwards. If you cannot shoot and you're just a guy who collects rebounds, putbacks, and fills up the stat sheet that way, do not fucking draft this person. The great examples of this are Derek Williams, Jordan Hill. I never understood how people like trick themselves in like, bro, he cooks because he's stronger than everyone in college. He's just a little bigger, but that does not work in the league. I mean, even to a degree, like no offense, but like Mo Wagner. I mean, like granted, he didn't go high, but like it was not, you know, when I was hearing Laker fans, fellow Laker fans being like, he's going to be a stud. It was like, relax on that a little bit. So yeah, that's mine.
Those are good. Great job.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Mine could be also applied to Syracuse, except I think worse. But basically, this is also something I've argued. Zach knows this. I would say the two of you know this, like to some lesser degree, but he's definitely seen me drunk way more times. Like, I will get into a lot of arguments that I'm like pretty confident in. And then about halfway through, start to realize that maybe I wasn't fully thinking it out. This is one of those that I've worked out over many drunk argument nights. I used to be very impassioned about this straight up, so I'll give you like the original parameters. There can never be more than two good UConn players in the league at one time. So if you start to think this through, you're like, okay, in the late 90s, early 2000s, like Ray Allen, Ben Gordon, it starts to fall apart when you get to the like mid-aughts, and your definition of good, like you've got Rudy Gay. So there just some things filter in that you're, you know, whatever. The argument has been sort of picked apart a little bit, but not fully. So when you change it to great, we've really got an argument. There can never be two great UConn players in the league. And of course, this is specifically men's basketball.
Yeah.
W would fall apart.
Fuck Gino forever. Yeah, but this is exclusively men's. So more recently, this would move to Kemba and Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. Now, Kemba Walker is no longer a great player, which fortunately opens up the path for UConn guard Tyrese Martin to be drafted this year. I think that if you have room and you are in the second round, digging toward the bottom, and you just want to, you know, take a chance, spin the old ABBA record, Tyrese Martin is the way to go. It's the time. Do I like UConn? No. I have many ops who are from UConn, who've graduated from UConn, all those kinds of things. I generally like do not support any of their teams or sports. But that's my theory, and it's not bias from me not liking people associated with the University of Connecticut or UConn in all caps.
I like this theory. I still think the UConn theory holds up, because to your point, you have Ray Allen and Rip Hamilton, and Rip Hamilton starts to fade when Ben Gordon gets to the league, and then Ray Allen falls apart when Kemba gets to the league. Now, whether Andre Drummond was ever great is neither here nor there. But
right. Money will say otherwise.
Yes.
Deals will say otherwise. Point. But literally, Stan Van Gundy did not know what he was doing. So,
yeah.
I'm with it. I love this theory. It's also like UConn's been so bad lately. But I wonder, like that's so funny, because I thought Shabazz Napier, I thought he would be good. I was wrong about that.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Jeremy Lamb. I thought
Jeremy Lamb. Another
Jeremy
one.
Jeremy Lamb.
See,
lost
I never thought
OKC
that,
shuffle.
Not me.
The players we were wrong about, I thought Jordan Poole would not be what Jordan Poole has been. Now, granted, finals Jordan Poole is kind of the version I think he will always sort of be at. But like watching him at Michigan, you would have these unbelievable nights, and then you go look at the box score the next night, and it's like 3 points. And he did that for a little bit when he first got to the league, but the G League development thing really helped. And I think the situation is kind of perfect for him. So I'll be curious where he fits in there, but I was wrong about that. He was a good player.
That's Harry's favorite song.
That is Harry's favorite song. Yes.
The Jordan Poole is a good player.
Yes.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. So anyway, that's mine.
Where
I am trying to think about.
We're at 6:28.
Oh yes.
Oh,
by the way,
should we do the drinking game real quick? Do you have time?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For drinking games, of course.
So this is a drinking game for the draft. If you're listening to this and the draft's already happened, that's okay. There's one every year. So.
Drink away.
I think mine are all pretty. They're not general. They're not specific to this year. My first one is drink whenever it's very obvious that the player's mom doesn't like the player's girlfriend. I think this is a super easy tell.
That was on mine too.
Yeah. Just very enjoyable, like pretty obvious. Yeah. I love that. And moms are usually correct. But.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. So if you're a player and you really like your girlfriend, you have to draw a boundary with your mom. I think that's appropriate too. But anyway, just for the sake of this game, I do enjoy that mess.
That's such a good one. That was on my list too. What
else is on your list, Jordan?
I also had one where if it was a mom or a grandma that after the name was called, just separately away from the crowd, just did a couple big jumps. away from the group. That's worthy of a shot and celebration. Because it's always so good to see. Always
so cute.
My favorite. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Has to be mom or grandmother though. Extra points.
mine, I like to play this to really ruin people's nights. So anytime on the broadcast, the words intangibles, IQ, or first step get mentioned, you got to drink on one of those.
She's first just, step. Oh, you're luck. Hammered. Oh, my
good luck.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Those are really good, like, buzz. Yeah, I was trying to think of buzzwords that weren't necessarily, you know, like, higher, lower, sleeper, or whatever, and those are perfect.
Thank you.
Quick first step.
I had a couple words similarly. Frame.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a hot.
And the modern NBA.
Those are both great.
And then the last one is this is more specifically for tomorrow, but or today if you're listening to this right now, or maybe even in this exact second if you're listening to this right now, the top three seem to be set in stone, or seem to be pretty set in stone.
Oh, set in stone.
Yeah. Anything set in stone. That's good. I also like what you have here, Harry. Every time Kendrick Perkins mispronounce someone's name.
Yeah.
So good.
Prepare
to unfortunately be, yeah, quite a bit. And you might not even be familiar with the player, but you're going to know it's wrong.
Yeah.
I'll let you know that. Yeah. I think that it's a finish your drinker if a player gets drafted and you can tell immediately that they are unhappy with the location in which they've been drafted. This is, you know, major callbacks to like Joel Embiid having that like very stone cold face. And they said that there was a tape delay, but I still don't know if I believe that. Zach LaVine saying fuck me under his breath after he got drafted to the Wolves. That. Yeah, all-timer. So it doesn't have to be that extreme. You can always tell. So
this one might be hard to get one of this because, like, we knew or Zion knew where he was going as soon as the lottery happened. So he had 2 months to practice his acting versus, like, in the moment when the lottery happened, it cut to him and he looked sick that he had to go to New Orleans and not New York. It's just a different level of endorsement money coming in, too. But that'll be interesting. I love the draft. I appreciate you guys having me on, but like, I love the draft. I just struggle this year because like, I don't care about the teams at the top, even the top, all the teams in the lottery. Like, it's kind of more fun if, you know, the Warriors or Lakers or, I mean, the Knicks were supposed to be in it and they're so far out of it. It's just sort of like, God damn it.
Well, and you lose the cinema when you lose the Knicks too, because their fans are so, that was another one on my list was drink whenever you see a child booing or cussing, but like by definition a child, not somebody who's just under 18, like I'm talking under 12. And you really miss out on that when the Knicks aren't there. So
yeah, I agree.
The fanfare.
Does anyone have any more?
I had so on the Knicks line, I had, you know, somehow, and this is part of the New York magic, but no matter where the Knicks draft, I do feel like the whole draft ends up, or like a consistent through line for the draft ends up being Knicks fans being upset. And so I do think it's like drink anytime a Knicks fan in your life seems upset about the draft.
Mm.
But they are upset. Like they're so upset and devastated. And like, this is the end of everything. Our team always does this, blah, blah, blah. 6 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
You wake up Kevin and they're like, Knox. Actually, I've been thinking about it. Like, he is the answer. That happens every single year. Like, every they're convinced time. This is the missing key that was going to unlock everything. And it could be a fucking nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
I love these fans.
Oh, every time. I'm going to go fashion wise. I feel like there's an all white ensemble almost every year or some type of monochrome look. So maybe take a couple shots if you see that walking down the catwalk or when someone's accepting.
I mean, this is, again, a dangerous one, but if you do the, like, anyone that shows their suit lining.
Oh.
That gets dangerous. Yeah. Everyone does that now, which is good. I mean, I think it's a fun way to incorporate something cool, but that's probably a dangerous one.
Double shot if it's initials, if their initials are also a part of the pattern.
I hate it. I think they're so tacky.
I hate it too.
I hate linings that are like things. It's not a toy. It's not. It's fashion.
I wonder who has the worst.
What are you doing?
The best draft day fit to worst NBA career ratio. The one that comes to mind is Bol Bol. Absolutely unreal outfit. And
I didn't like the outfit.
Oh, I love the...
Wow. That might be a story there. I might have to research that one. Yeah, that could be fun.
That's a good video. Because everyone has done the like worst draft fit, but... Best fit, worst career. That'll do some numbers. So that's a good call.
That's why I pay her the big bucks.
Zach, thank you for coming on.
Of course, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Zach.
Can't wait to see you in Vegas.
I know, it'll be very, very fun. Can't wait.